get myself organized here. In case everybody's wondering, today is Sheila's birthday. Happy birthday, Sheila. And she's playing the piano on her birthday. What a beautiful way to segue into it. We are celebrating God's blessings. Again, some more hymnals for you. If you have a bulletin, they're there. I think Beth included the numbers this week. Last week she didn't. But they're there in case you're wanting to follow along. This first one is a well-known song by Charles Naylor. Been in existence for a long time, talking about the church's jubilee. And I asked Sheila not to get me so fast so I can get all of the words in. But we're going to worship together the church's jubilee. Light of evening tide, now shines the darkness to dispel. The glories of fair Zion state, 10,000 voices tell. Far out of Babel, God the throne, scattered saints in one. Together, all one church composed the body of His Son. O Church of God, the day of Jubilee has gone so bright and glorious for thee. Rejoice, be glad, the shepherd has begun his long divided flock again to gather into one. The Bible is our rule of faith, and Christ alone is Lord. All we are equal in His sight when we obey His word. No earthly master do we know, to Christ alone we bow, and to each other and to God eternal trueness vow. O Church of God, the day of Jubilee has gone so bright and glorious for thee. Rejoice, be glad, the shepherd has begun his long divided flock again to gather into one. The day of sects and creeds for us forevermore is past. God's unity joins all the saints upon the world so vast. Stretch our hands in fellowship to every blood-washed one, while love entwines about each heart in which God's will is done. O Church of God, the day of Jubilee has gone so bright and glorious for thee. Rejoice, be glad, the shepherd has begun his long divided flock again to gather into one. O blessed truth that broke our bonds, in it we now rejoice, while in the holy church of God we hear our Savior's voice. And gladly to His blessed will submissive we shall be, and from the yokes of Babel's Lord henceforth we are free. O Church of God, the day of Jubilee has gone so bright and glorious for thee. Rejoice, be glad, the shepherd has begun his long divided flock again to gather into one. Father, we are just so grateful, God, for the church's jubilee. God, we're thankful that we can be the church of God, that we can reach our hands, Father, in fellowship to every blood-washed saint. Father, we just pray that today we reach our hand to you, God, that you are in this place, Father, that you will bless your people, pour out your spirit, anoint us, Father, with your presence. And we'll give you thanks and praise in your holy name we ask it. Amen. You can be seated. Well, what's going on in the life of the church? Let's see. The ladies' Bible study is going on at Dodge Park. Hope Crossing. Why did I got... I always... Dodge Park. I'm so used to Dodge Park. And really, it's the German Church of God.
And then it went to Dodge Park, and now it's Hope Crossing. So it's all the same place. Same place. But I had Dodge Park on my mind for whatever reason. But the ladies' Bible study is at Hope Crossing. So if you want to join in that, that's Tuesday evenings at 6:30. Okay? And Wednesday night, we're beginning chapter who? You got to change your batteries or turn it on? Oh. How's that? There you go. Okay, Wednesday night, 5 o'clock. We're into chapter 1, and we're ready. We've done the introduction. And does anybody remember what our main Bible study verse is that we're going to be looking at throughout this study?
Yes and no. I forgot.
Malachi 6:8. Micah 6:8. What does the Lord require of you?
To seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God.
Amen. So that's going to be our scripture verse throughout the time that we're studying that book. So we want to make sure that we have asked that you post that somewhere, remember it. We're going to go through it every week. We're going to remember that verse, right? Right. Say yes. That's good.
Eventually.
All right. That's Wednesday night. We got, we planned dinner. That's right. It's John's birthday that night. Oh, boy. We're having a Maurice salad. If you've never heard of a Maurice salad, then you haven't been to Hudson's. J.L. Hudson's. But it's a specialty of J.L. Hudson's Maurice salad. That's Wednesday night. Bread Breakers is coming up next Sunday at 11 o'clock. If you're interested in joining us, please sign up in the back. That's there. What else? Hymn Sing. Friday, October the 11th, Farmington Hills Church of God is doing kind of like what we're doing every Sunday for the next one more week anyway. While Sheila's with us, we've been doing a hymn sing. So they're doing their second annual hymn sing. Come and worship with them. That is Friday evening, October the 11th. Excuse me. Then we got the fall conference, Ministers and Laity United. I will be sharing in that on Saturday. We have a conference on Friday night, Saturday, and then a guest speaker on Sunday afternoon at 3:30. So that's coming up as well, so mark your calendars for that. Remember the food pantry in the back. We want to make sure that we get all of the supplies there. And please just look at the dates when you bring them in, because sometimes we don't get them out right away, so we want to make sure that the dates are good for a while. All right, QR code, BethanyChurchOfGod.org, that's there. Just for information, the furnaces are starting to install tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in the morning. So we should have 2 days done. They say 3 days, but they'll start ripping out tomorrow morning. So we should have them by Wednesday, both furnaces completely taken out and installed, and new air conditioners. So praise the Lord, that's coming along, and we'll be ready for winter and ready, set, to go. Those are quite old, and it's time for the change. All right, what else we got going on? Anything am I missing, Doc? I still have my leg up. Doctor gave me a good report, so we're moving right along. We're going to celebrate a couple of songs here. You probably know them all. When We All Get to Heaven, Trust and Obey. And then our prayer hymn will be I Surrender All. Trying to get you some songs that you would know. But I know this first one is a good old favorite of ours. So it's hymn number 729. We're going to start out with that one and then Trust and Obey.
The wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, with the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. When we all get to heaven, day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Let us then be true and faithful, trusting, serving every day. Just one glimpse of Him in glory will the toils of life repay. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory on our way. We do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt or a fear, not a sigh or a tear can remain while we trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He does richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Well, the song we're going to really ask us, have we surrendered it all to Jesus? And that is our prayer hymn as we prepare for prayer.
they surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me.
What a song to bring us into a time of prayer. I surrender all. God, it is to You that we must surrender all things. It is to You, God, that we must love and trust. It is to You that all things bring glory, honor, and power. Father, we ask Your blessings now to fall fresh on us. Fill us with the Holy Spirit today, God. Let Your love and presence dwell in us. God, there's a lot of things to be mindful of. We can complain or grumble about the week we've had, but God, we just surrender all things to You now. And God, we just ask that Your holy presence just fall fresh on Your people today, God. That throughout all of it, Father, we would understand Your love, Your mercy, and Your power. God, there's a multitude of needs amongst us. There's a multitude of praise and prayer among us. And we're just praising You, God, because we're in Your presence. We're praising You, God, for Your gifts, Your love, and Your majesty. We praise You for who You are, Father, and for knowing You above all else. Father, as we have gathered in Your name, I pray for the people of the church. I pray for the install coming tomorrow, God, that it would go well and all things would fall into place the way they need to. God, You've made a way. We pray for the financial need. God, You know it. God, bless those who have given and those who have helped. We continue to ask, Father, that You'll bless Your church. Father, for the physical needs of the church, there's a multitude, God. We continue to pray for Suzanne. We pray for Charlotte, who is at home. We pray for Kathy this morning, God, that You would anoint and touch her. Father, bring healing to her body, Father. Physical health and wellness. Get her home, Father. Just be with Stephen as he travels back and forth. Father, just anoint them with Your presence. Continue to touch Gary, God, as he heals. It was good to talk to them this week, God. But they're thankful for the prayers, but Father, there's still much to be done. We pray that you'll give Gary strength. Bless Sister Jean as she administers the care and does all the things. Bless them, Father. Father, I'm thankful for the good report on my heel. But God, I know there's more, but I pray for my wife as she is doing all the things that I so want to help with. Father, I'm just waiting. I keep asking her one of these days she's going to let me switch over and drive the car. But until that time, God, I pray for patience, love, and grace. I pray that, God, you'll bless the people of God who are away. Bless those who are watching. Bless us, Father, that as you pour out your Spirit on us, you know the needs that we have. You know the desires we have. And we pray that you'll fill us today with your love and your presence. God, may we surrender all to you. Father, be with Mark and Tom and Brett. And Father, be with our churches in Kenya and Africa and all over this great state. Be with our friends, our family, but most especially, be with the needs that we share with you today. God, fill our lives with your love and your presence. We surrender all things to you now. In your holy and mighty name we pray. Amen. Foot moving there, and I'm not supposed to be having my foot moving there. She's like, don't do that. Didn't realize what I was doing, but I was having a good old time. I'm kind of embarking on a passage of scripture this morning that we've probably heard lots of times over the years, but although this was written a number of years ago, the model still stands as a model of poetry, love, a variety of walks in the Lord. We see several authors, writing styles, and a true love for God. You see various authors throughout the books. The style, along with history, not only a narrative, stories of devotion, worship, deep love for the Lord who walks and talks with his people. C.S. Lewis, a great writer, says, I think we delight in praise what we enjoy because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of our compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete until it is expressed. He says it's frustrating to have discovered a new author and not be able to tell anyone how good he is. To come suddenly at a turn in the road upon some mountain grandeur valley of unexpected beauty and then have to keep silent because the people with you care for it no more than a tin can in the ditch, he says. To hear a good joke and to find one, share it. The Scotch Catechism says that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Then, we shall then know that these are the same thing. To fully enjoy is to glorify. In commanding us to glorify him, God is inviting us to glorify him. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Let me grab my controller here. And if you will, we're going to talk about a happy walk. And I'm waiting for that happy walk, let me tell you. A few weeks out, it's coming. But if you will, stand with us as we share together Psalm number chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. It's 843 of your large print Bibles, but it will be up on the screen. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Some years ago, I encountered on this poem, and I've loved it ever since, and I will share it with you. I don't often read poetry in the morning, but I'm going to read some for you today. It was written between 1874 and 1963. Beloved author of mine, you may know who it is when I'm finished. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for the passing there, had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way the way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one last traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Anybody recognize the author? Don't say, because I know you know. That was Robert Frost. A road not taken. Some years ago, Beth and I were on a road rally, and I had studied Robert Frost in school, and back then I was still in high school. And we were on a road rally, and this was one of the questions on the road rally, and because I knew the answer, we won the road rally. And to that day, my wife is like, how did you know that? Well, at the time, I had been studying Robert Frost, and I loved the path of A Road Not Taken. You see, we walk a path every day. We walk a journey. What does it mean to have a happy walk? Let me introduce the text to you. Book of Psalms, a favorite book, and actually, in the middle of Psalms is the middle chapter of the Bible. When you look at the divisions of the scriptures, the middle of the Bible is found in Psalms. One of my favorite is Psalm 139, where David talks about, Lord, you know me. You know all about me. In this text, he begins with images. Images of the Psalter at two roads or away. He finds the story of a tree. The road signals the directions one takes in life, and the roads are characterized not by geography, but rather by who walks on each road and to whom each road belongs. This is the character and the theme of the entire Psalms. It talks about down one road, the wicked, those who depend on God, sinners who rebel against God, and the scoffers who mock God. This road belongs to those who tread its path. This road leads nowhere. Those who take this road end up non-resilient. They cannot take suffering. Down the other road walks the righteous who depend on God. This picture in Psalms chapter 1 is of a tree. Those who depend on God, the righteous, are like that tree whose roots sink deep into the earth and into the streams of water. Because of this, the tree can flourish. Even when the going gets tough, like this tree who drinks deeply from the streams of water. They are resilient, but God watches over the path they walk. One final comment. Psalms introduces the entire book. Psalms is of the Torah, the book of the law. In that, Psalms makes a promise. Those who drink deeply from the Psalms will find sustainable source of spiritual drink. Psalm 1 begins with this theme of the Hebrew word, Asher. Asher is very well known that when we look into Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's Gospel and the other Gospel writers. Asher means happy. This psalm could easily be transferred as happy is the person who walks in the step of the Lord. Unhappiness is the one who walks in the path of the wicked. This word derives its meaning from going straight or to advance. It means emotion evoked in the psalm as following the instructions of God to move forward, to develop, to grow. It provides the foundation for the rest of the psalm. Spiritual practice commonly outlined in Psalms 1 has been read as kind of a silent solitude practice of meditation, walking with the Lord. However, for this to be true, the author's context, it would presume the audience had something else in their basic needs of survival. In this context, our relationship with the Torah and instruction should be read and questioned, discussed and engaged in our daily living, in our meditation, in our active participation with God. Here, the author describes fruit-bearing trees and deep roots that have constant water source. For Israel, it was very largely an agrarian society and understood improperly the agricultural production and weather. So historically and spiritually, we've begun to unfold the mystery of the Lord in the verses of the past. A happy walk of the righteous versus the unrighteous. There are two paths described. As I shared with you this word, Asher, you can find it in a multitude of your American Standard, the New King James Version, the Revised Standard Version, the NIV. Many of them give us that root word, to be blessed or to be happy. The question really asked is, the sense is one walking in the right direction in life. Are we doing all the right things? Conveys a sense of deep contentment, a great peace of mind. I might not be doing everything perfectly. See, that's the problem with any of us in our humanity. We believe that everything must be perfect all in its place and orderly. And yes, for a person like myself who is 100% type A plus, you want everything. It's very difficult. Books laid out in the right path, open to the right space. My computer's laid out in the right path. And I've just been the last 5 weeks in destruction. I don't know where to go. I don't know if I want my foot up or my foot down. I don't know if I want my computer here or my books over here. And I'm trying to make the best of that situation. And sometimes I can't get the TV right, so I don't watch it. It's not like the norm for me. And for a person who understands the frustrations of that, you get the sense that we sometimes want perfection in our life. But that's not what the Scripture is asking for us. It asks for a direction in our life, a confidence that I am open to the Holy Spirit, I'm actively seeking the Lord, I'm reading His Word, I'm devoting the time to know Him more and His revelation in my life. How can I be sure of that? How do I know I'm walking in the right direction? Well, Psalm writer tells us that the person who walks in the right path delights in the law of God. Well, remember, that is all they had. The law of God was the rule and guide of faith. They've heard all the instructions, and the way that Psalms was written, we figure the timeline to be around the same time as Moses writing Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. The Torah, the law of God, the Pentateuch, all of those things are written around this time. And Israel understood the power of God's law. They meditated on it day and night. They understood that the law was found and blessed. It was the calling of Abraham and Sarah. It is the calling of Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob, Esau, Leah, Rachel, Bildad, Zilpha, Joseph, Moses, the wilderness wandering. We know that the story encompasses, and this was the walk of the righteous, to know the law of God, to study it, to meditate on it. And I can tell you, there's a lot of things that I would like to study, and the law of God was not one of them. I'm just being honest. I love Deuteronomy, the second law, but boy, whew. When you get into the Numbers, and the wilderness wanderings, and the number of people. Come on, I know that all of you just love to get into the so-and-so begat so-and-so, and we have all of these tribes, and the 12 tribes, and all of the families, and knowing all of those names. Now, if you're real honest with me, you would say, I get to that section, I've already read it once, I bypass and skim over it, and I know the 12 tribes. And I'm okay with that, because there are times in the Scriptures that some of it, if you want a good sleeping method, that's one of them. Read the law. The Bible tells us here that the children of Israel, the Scripture to them was the delight in the law of the Lord. To them, the person of God was in the law. God wrote the law for them. They studied it. They dwelled on it. And it says that that person is like a tree planted by the water. Well, we know that that tree becomes a wonderful symbol. We know that in the Scriptures, water becomes the saving fortress to the people of God. Remember, it was the water that God rescued them from the hand of Pharaoh. Remember, it was the water that led Joshua into the promised land. Remember, it was the water that Jesus was baptized and called the Son of God. Remember, it is Jesus who met the woman at the well. It is the place where Jesus walks on the water. It is the place in water that Peter learned to trust God. It is the place where we are told in eternity that we're going to be provided streams of living water. It is the consummation of all things in Scripture. Water today has become a huge issue for people. It is not only a financial gain. There's all types of water out there. And millions, if not billions of dollars, are spent every year by people purchasing water. We have bottles of water years ago. Now we have actual water stations. And the plant, they didn't like the water fountains. For us growing up, that's all we had was the drinking fountains. Oh boy, you can't do that now. Those are full of germs. But now we have watering stations, which are so much better for us. Because now we're thinking that we should get rid of the drinking fountain and turn it into a watering station to where you can fill your bottles of water. But the psalm writer gives us the hint of the amazing gift of water. You know, trees are a wonderful thing. Plants are an amazing system. But a tree is amazing that when planted by the streams of water, they know to dig deep. They will send the root structure deep and they will find the sources of water, even as if it's in your sewers and your crops and your water lines. They'll find water. I know every year when I start up my sprinkler system, I always have to go through and cut out pieces because that root from the tree has found its way into my sprinkler system and loves to tap into that water. How it does that, I don't know, but that root is strong enough, it gets into those sprinkler systems. You see, the tree knows. It knows to find the source of water. Well, wouldn't you think that would be a wonderful, amazing gift for us? That the psalm writer is teaching you and I, if you want a happy walk, dig deep into the Word of God. Dig deep, draw your roots and the strength in the source of what it's telling us. And then it says that it should not only draw deep into the well of God's water, it should yield fruit, fruit that will last. Well, and the psalm writer also gives us this idea of the balance of what it means to walk versus the unrighteous. Well, notice the fruits of the righteous versus the unrighteous. Well, we see that the wicked are like the chaff. The wind drives away and are contrasted to those who are like trees planted by the water. I wonder, how are we yielding our fruit? You know, this past few weeks ago, during our drive to Ashland, we began to notice the colors. In the fall time, notice that the sugars start to come out of the leaves and the trees start to change their color. You start to see the browns and the autumns and the auburns and the colors and the changes. The changes are an image to you and I. The fruits of the righteousness goes through seasons. We have seasons, we're told about. Seasons of high and seasons of low. That doesn't mean anything's changed with my relationship to God. It just means there are seasons that we go through, and the trees remind us of the color changes and the image of God's providence that fall brings in the colors. And oh, by the way, you know what I have in my office now? My Advent package. And the crowd turns ugly. Yeah, I have the Advent package and started putting my paperwork together for December 1st is the first Sunday in Advent. You haven't even gotten to Thanksgiving yet. You haven't gotten to Halloween or anything else. But what I'm telling you is, the Scripture gives us in this very first chapter the fruits of the righteous versus the unrighteous. Our walk symbolizes the changes we go through. One step at a time. Sometimes we walk forward, stable, yet occasionally we take a step backwards. But in light of God's love, we are happy in every step. Closing verse in Psalm 1 summarizes this. The wicked and the sinners, those who don't meditate on the Torah, those who follow their own inclinations will stand at the judgment time. The congregation of the righteous. But the Lord will watch over the righteous. But God will be with those. I was reminded of Galatians chapter 5. Anybody know what that says? Galatians chapter 5 verse 22. Paul talks about the summary of those who walk in the fruits of the righteousness. Do you know what they are? Well, let's speak it out. Amen. Paul describes them as the fruits of the Spirit. And she has told us his love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Paul says against such things there is no law. J. McClinton McCann reminds us that happiness is not found in self-fulfillment, but in praising God. He writes, prosperity does not involve getting what one wants. It comes from being connected to the source of life, God. But you know, I want it my way. I'm just going to say, I want it my way. We never get that way, do we? We never demand things are done the way we want them done. Listen, you're not supposed to play that song that way. You're not supposed to worship that way. We're supposed to be sophisticated people of God. But see, the scripture tells us the fruits of the righteous are having all of these and meditating on the Word of God. It is a stream planted by the rivers of living water. To the people of God, the Torah was the history, the backbone, the stories read in Genesis through Deuteronomy. You know, you can sum up on Wednesday night, I told the church about meta-narrative. Have you ever heard that term? I know some of you haven't. Meta-narratives are the sum of the entire story of the Bible, summed up in just a few simple words. When we look at the meta-narratives, the Bible is a narrative. It's a narrative of the story of God's love. It relates to us that story. You know, the question I always like to ask is, where do we fit into that story? Where do you fit into the story? Because the truth of it is, your walk and your happiness and your walk determines where you fit into that story. Happiness isn't having everything that I want. The psalm writer tells us happiness is knowing that God blessed us in creation. There was a fall. Two of the meta-narratives are about creation and about the fall. But the third meta-narrative is about the redemption of mankind. That God loved you and I so much that He fit us into the story and knew that we needed a Savior. He knew that in order for our walk to be happy, to be full, to be all that it was called to be, God knew that because of the fall, we needed a Savior. I loved it on Wednesday night. We talked about who was mentioned in Micah, right? Who did we find in Micah that we normally don't see? We talked about in chapter 5. Who we're going to visit? Christ. Remember? The symbolism of Christ in Micah chapter 5 is symbolized there, and we see the story unfold in the gospel writers. You see the story of God's redemption, and then we know the final meta-narrative is one day there will be a new Mount Zion. One day there'll be a new place for us. Happiness is about the walk of God. It's about the people of God. It's about knowing the chance to experience His righteousness. It's walking hand in hand with God. People seeking the Lord, meditating on His Word, being a stream planted by the water and bearing fruit. Well, the final phase of this is the season of walk through the end of the promise. The poetic imagery, the writer invokes the images of trees, as we've already mentioned. The water is like the law of God that becomes the part of the tree itself. You see, what we notice in the psalm writer is that the tree is not independent of water. The tree is dependent upon water. It is dependent upon God. We, you and I, cannot walk in this walk all by ourselves. We are dependent on God. God is the one who guides us. He is the source of life. He is the one that provides and flourishes us. Without His existence, the tree would ultimately fail. Meditation on the law of God is regarded as something that gets into us like water. You know, we learned in biology about osmosis. Right? What does osmosis do? Yep. And it osmosis allows the oxygen and things to permeate. It allows the plants to become green. They feed the oxygen and the supplies from that. It opens it up so that osmosis allows us the opportunity. I just wonder some days, wouldn't it be nice if I could put this on the top of my head and the words of God would just flow into my life? But sometimes, just like anything else, I have to read it. I have to study it. I have to understand what he's saying. I have to go back. But we, you and I, know that there are parched places in our life that we need the water of God. We know that the conditions necessary for bearing fruit means that I must be planted by the streams of living water, that God must be thriving, not only in my individual life, in the corporate life of the church, and in the fullness of God to permeate all things. It is our goal, the psalm writer tells us, that we must be in a happy walk. Sometimes we forget to smile along this journey, don't we? Sometimes we get so busy and full of all kinds of things, we forget to actually smile along the path. You know, there are sometimes during my work week when I was there, I'd be so interested in getting from one place to the next. My head is focused. I'm thinking and I'm down and somebody's going to say, "Would you just lift up your head?" You ever get that way? Maybe it's only me. Ivana probably is just happy to be walking in school and meeting all the people and just she's got her mind focused on everybody else instead of the next class, right? Yeah, sure. She's like, "I don't know what you're thinking of, Pastor." But sometimes if I'm always looking next? What's God doing? Where is God working at? How is God working in my life? And usually when I finish a subject, I'm done with it. I'm on to the next subject. And I've got to be thinking ahead to prepare myself. What is going to be the next question? This next week, I'm going to be working on the historical aspects of the church. But see, we're always thinking ahead. And for us, we must allow God to permeate us in the seasons of our life. It's knowing that we can smile through this journey. Multiple cups of coffee will do a good job. I love the coffee. And nothing's changed while I'm at home. I'll usually drink a pot of coffee before lunchtime is over or just a little bit after. I'm enjoying the coffee at home and my wife's doing a marvelous job. But my point is to have a happy walk means that we must meditate on the Word of God. We must be a tree that's planted by the streams of water. We must let our roots sink deep. We must envelop God. God envelops us. We must be in tune with who God is and how He's working in our life. Where are you at in your walk? What's going on in your life? Are you challenged by things around you? Are you struggling? Is there something that's keeping you from hearing the Word of God? Well, the psalm writer tells us, you can have victory today. You can have victory in Jesus because of the story, because of His glory, because He gave His life for someone like me. That's the story we sing about. That's the story we preach about. That's having victory and knowing who He is. Whatever season you're in, today you can have victory. Plant yourself in the presence of God. Plant your life in His never-ending well of life. Plant it by the streams of water. Let God flourish you. Let Him prosper you. And let Him bless you today. Happy walk. Happy wife. Happy life. Happy me. Happy God's presence. We're going to sing this song in closing. Oh, victory in Jesus.
And won the victory.
of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again, and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal the broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Heavenly Father, plunge us today, God. Give us the opportunity, God, to walk a happy walk. Plunge us, Father, into your word. Plunge us to meditate on you. Bless us, Father. Let us be that tree that is planted by the waters. Father, let us dig deep into the word of God. Father, nourish us, strengthen us, and lead us, Father, in the coming week. We'll thank you and praise you in the holy name. Amen. Have a great day.